WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Oh, it feels so good to be back. Welcome to another fantastic edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin. We have a fantastic show in store for you all as we try to recap the weekend that was in all of sports. Man, oh man, a busy day to try to recap everything. So much happened over the weekend, including Kenny Kaminsky. Yes, he's deciding to take his talents somewhere other than the green and white. We'll talk about that. Also, Connor Cook says that Tyler O'Connor may be ahead for that backup number two position. The Tigers have one fantastic weekend. Rory McIlroy wins back-to-back championships. Dale Earnhardt Jr. continues an unbelievable streak. And also, we'll give you our weekend winners and losers. All of that and so much more. Do not, you better not, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't touch that dial because Current Sports is going to be a hot show today, folks. And as custom here on the show, here is Alex Shark, my man, with your Current Sports quick hit headliners.
Happy Monday, sports fans. I'm Alex Shark, and these are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for Monday, August 4th. Kenny Kaminsky's career at Michigan State is apparently over after a season plagued by off-the-court issues and just before the 6'8 forward was about to secure a primary role. Kaminsky tweeted over the weekend, quote, "I am no longer going to play at Michigan State. I will be transferring to another school, but I have not decided where yet." An MSU spokesman said the school would have no immediate comment on the matter, and Tom Izzo could not be reached for comment. The shooting specialist from Medina, Ohio, averaged 4.9 points in 12.2 minutes a game last season for the Spartans as a redshirt freshman. He held MSU in three-point percentage at 49.4%, connecting on 38 triples and 77 tries. MSU starting quarterback Connor Cook believes that right now, Tyler O'Connor is MSU's number two QB. Cook went on to say, quote, "Tyler's real smart. Tyler has the offense down like the back of his hand. Damian's still learning just because he just finished up his first year, obviously. And Tyler's going into his third year. But I feel like Tyler right now is probably the backup. Who knows what's going to happen during camp?" End quote. O'Connor started camp number two on the depth chart with Terry at number three. Terry is coming off surgery to repair his non-throwing shoulder, an injury he suffered in the spring game. Terry is still full go in camp with precaution. And in conjunction with the announcement of Carlton Valentine's return to coach at Sexton, the Lansing School District announced that it has hired Julius Edwards as Lansing Eastern's varsity boys basketball coach. Edwards has 13 years of basketball coaching experience. He has served as an assistant coach to former varsity coach Rod Watts and head coach of the junior varsity Eastern teams. He has worked for 2 years coaching teams at East Lansing, and Edwards coached young athletes in the Lansing Area Premier Girls AAU program, where his teams won championships and qualified and stayed in national tournaments. Victor Martinez's third inning shot to left was all that Anibal Sanchez needed to finish off a weekend sweep of the Colorado Rockies with a 4-0 victory on Sunday. Sanchez became the third straight Tigers starter to dominate the Rockies, striking out a season-high 12 in 7 innings. He only allowed 2 hits and a walk. Jobber Chamberlain allowed 1 hit in a shutout 8th inning, and Joaquin Soria did the same in the 9th. The Tigers now open a 4-game road series tonight at 7:05 p.m. against the New York Yankees. Max Scherzer takes the mound versus Brandon McCarthy. Golfer Rory McIlroy clinched a win at Bridgestone and returned to number one in the world ranking over the weekend. McIlroy was down to Sergio Garcia with 3 strokes with 3 holes to go, but still came back to win it. Rory became the 13th player with a major and a golf championship, joining Tiger Woods as the only players to win them consecutively. Dale Earnhardt Jr. continues to make his legacy this year as he completed a season sweep at Pocono over the weekend. Earnhardt Jr. outlasted Kevin Harvick and now holds the number one seed for the Sprint Cup Championship standings. He becomes the first racer to sweep both races at the track since Denny Hamlin did it back in 2006. And the NFL preseason has begun. In the Hall of Fame game being played in Canton, Ohio, the New York Giants defeated the Buffalo Bills 17-13. Giants QB Eli Manning went 6-for-7 with a fumble, and Giants rookie Andre Williams had 7 carries for 48 yards and a TD run. Bills starting quarterback EJ Manuel only completed 2-of-7 passes for 19 yards. And lastly, champion boxer Manny Pacquiao has purchased several shares in the MMA, Asian-based ONE Fighting Championship. Pacquiao owns several gyms in Asia, and they all teach MMA classes. Manny is defending his welterweight title in China on November 22nd versus Chris Algieri. And those are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this Monday, August 4th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show with all the Media Day coverage. Lines are now open.
All right, thanks a lot, Alex. As he just said, our phone lines are now open, and they will be throughout this entire hour. If you've been watching sports throughout the weekend, or just happen to have something on your mind in the world of sports, you know that you can pick up that phone and be a part of the hands-on discussion each and every day here on the show by dialing 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKR. Also have to remind you all that Current Sports TV, yes, we tape a new one, folks, this Wednesday at 10 a.m. Just got word today, it's official, that Terry Hesbrook, who is the head coach of the Ithaca football team, and if you know anything about the Yellow Jackets, you know that they are one of the, probably the, they are definitely the hottest football team in the state of Michigan. Without a doubt. Hottest high school football team in the state of Michigan. They had the longest streak in Michigan high school football history. One of the longest streaks in the entire nation when you talk about Michigan high school football. And Terry Hesbrook has been the man at the helm of this unbelievable team for quite some time now. Terry will be joining me to give us a high school football preview of mid-Michigan football around the area, and to talk about how he has really built this unbelievable powerhouse as they try to continue that dominance starting this month. Can you believe that it's already August? That's insane in the membrane, folks. I tell you, football is right around the corner. I'm a big fan of high school football, especially from around this area. Everyone around this community and beyond is so, so passionate. The stands become packed each and every Friday night. It's just a great time. It's something I look forward to, one of my most cherished moments as a sports reporter here in the area. So we'll talk about, we'll talk to Terry this week on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you can do so by signing up online for free at WKAR.org. Also this week, you can catch on Current Sports TV highlights from the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame ceremony that took place last week Thursday. A great time being down there. We praise Bob Avery for his just continued excellence year after year after year with that pretty special event. And also, you will see coverage from MSU Football Media Day, which is today, folks. I'm actually running off, Alex, a lot of Mountain Dew right now, as you see, because, man, oh, man, it's been kind of a crazy morning preparing the radio show, then getting the camera equipment. I ran over to Spartan Stadium to hook up the camera equipment, so we'll be all set, because Mark D'Antonio speaks right at 2 o'clock at Spartan Stadium. Of course, 2 p.m. is when Current Sports ends, so we'll have to dash over there right after this show, and then after D'Antonio speaks, they will have the players from the offense and defense talk as well, and you will get to see coverage of that also on WKR.org. And, of course, on Current Sports TV. Busy week. I can't believe it's already August and football is about to start, Alex. Crazy.
Can't believe it, but favorite time of the year. You got to get your football ready, Al. Mid-Michigan will be out at a lot of the games. Do you have any idea for the listeners where we're heading yet?
No, not yet. Well, we have to look at the schedule and everything. Okay. But, we will be everywhere. Current Sports is everywhere. We cover it all. I mean, it's always a fun time, man. And I'm going to switch up the format a little bit, too, once we get a new intern hired here. And we'll be sending the interns out to cover some games, too. It's going to be a fun time. I love Friday nights. It's always an exciting time because there are so many good teams in this area. And, hey, we'll get to talk to probably the most successful team as of lately, presently here in the present time with Ithaca. You know how good Ithaca is. I mean, they're good every single year. So definitely excited to talk to Terry. So, Alex, man, how was your weekend, brother?
Weekend was great. Went golfing. And speaking of Ithaca.
Yeah,
I went up north to go golfing this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I was driving by Ithaca Stadium. And I wasn't aware of this, but I didn't know that they had a full scoreboard.
You didn't know that?
I had no idea.
We got to send you out to a game then, man. You might have to cover a game with me. They have, they just built that a few years ago, and they actually have, their broadcasting crew is pretty good out there. They have the students get hands-on experience on how to shoot games. They have students out there with cameras connected to the Jumbotron, so it's kind of like you get like a mini like college football experience. You get to see highlights on the Jumbotron, and you get to see the action right on the Jumbotron. It is a state-of-the-art facility, and that's what success can bring you, man. They deserve it, too, out there. Yeah, I mean, it's a great program.
And they have this big billboard right when you drive past it saying, welcome to Ithaca, and it has all the main features or Dining with Ithaca.
Right.
And football, high school football is their main, there's their main feature right on the billboard.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. It's amazing, right off 127.
Amazing tradition. I wonder if that's maybe the only scoreboard like that.
I think in Mid-Michigan, yeah, it's definitely the only one in Mid-Michigan. Now, there's no other school in our coverage area that has a stadium like that. Ithaca's is one of a kind, man. It's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable experience when you go there.
But, yeah, man, I hit the links this weekend, went to the Pines.
How'd you golf, man? You got any numbers for me?
Got a little bit better, shooting a little bit down towards the early low hundreds, which is good for me.
That's good, right?
But I'm learning a lot about golf, man. I thought I knew a lot before, but I'm learning a lot now. How to draw shots, you know, very basic stuff. And when we get the current sports golf tips back going on, maybe in the next week or two.
Right.
Very excited for that.
Yeah, definitely. It's golf. I tell you, it's one of the greatest hobbies one can ever pick up. And especially when you start to get good at it and you actually start to make contact with the ball. There's nothing like hitting a beautiful drive.
And
so,
speaking of golf.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about Rory first.
Yeah, well, we are. We're going to get to Rory. Okay. We're going to get to Rory. Hold your horse. We're going to definitely get to Rory. I tell you what, something that wasn't mentioned in the headliners, though, I got to tell this story because I had a great weekend. Got to go back to Detroit and see the fam for probably the last time for a long time because things are going to start to get crazy, crazy busy with football starting now. Today, of course, marking the inaugural, you know, start for the MSU football team with media day. But I tell you what, I was Friday, you know, I'm a big NBA guy, and I just happened to be flipping through the channels and happened to see the USA exhibition game in Vegas, Las Vegas, between the blue and white team. A great game. You know, it's fun, entertaining to watch. Derrick Rose looks great. I mean, I think it looks like he's not missed a beat. But check it out. I'm watching it. I'm pretty sure many people saw this too. I'm watching it. This is live. I'm watching it live, man. And I'm cringing just thinking about it. You know, I'm pretty sure you saw it too. Paul George on a fast break. I forget who the guy he's trying to, you know, he tries to go for a block. And, you know, he comes down. His foot hits the backstop of the backboard. And it comes down and completely snaps in half. His right leg completely snaps. His tibia and fibula just snaps. It reminded me of that whole Kevin Ware injury between Duke and Louisville. And you know what's so ironic about that game? Because, you know, Coach K is the coach. And, you know, Coach K is the coach of Duke, too. So he was on the sideline to witness probably two of the most horrific basketball sports injuries I've ever seen in my life. I don't know. Maybe Coach K is a bad luck charm here. But, man, it was just so – it's gruesome, folks. If I don't know if TV stations are even showing it anymore, but if you want to see it, it's on YouTube, but man, oh man, you know they lose a guy like Paul George, who definitely was going to make the team. And if you're a Pacers fan or follow the Pacers, I mean, now Lance Stephenson goes over to Team Jordan, you know, with the Charlotte Hornets now. And you know, if you look at it, who does Indiana have? I mean, Paul George is. This is at least going to take 12. I was reading a report, 12 to 18 months for Paul George to recover from that injury. I mean, again, it was just really squeamish for me. And I watched it live, and I didn't really catch it, you know, when it first happened because I was tweeting like I'm always doing. I'm always tweeting, right? And I'm tweeting about the game, and then next thing you know, like play stops, and it completely goes silence, and you see Paul George just sitting there with his hands cupped behind his head and his eyes closed. I'm like, oh, what happened? And they showed the replay, and I literally screamed, dude. It was that horrific. But, man, oh, man, you never know. I mean, you never know when an injury like that can happen. And now the question comes whether or not, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams second guessing whether or not to send their superstars, if you will, to national play like that because something like that can happen.
Exactly. That's the biggest deal out of this whole situation is will teams still send their players to compete now?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that the pedestal for USA basketball is so high. And if you're stooping down like back in the 70s in hockey when you're only letting college players play in the big hockey games and the Olympics before when they beat the Soviets, same thing happens here. Do you start sending some college players? Do you hold back your superstars? It's a big issue here, and I totally understand why teams don't want to send them. This is the perfect example. I mean, now you could even argue that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to run away with the Eastern Conference now.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
That's a whole nother level of how much this injury affects basketball right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Not only was the injury horrific and
it was so bad, man. Oh, I couldn't watch it more than twice. I mean, You could. All right, let me just stop thinking about it right now. But man, it was bad. And you talk about the East and the Cleveland Cavaliers again. We open up our phone lines throughout this entire hour for folks to tune in 517-355-9527 to call in actually and give your thoughts on anything we discuss. And we actually have a tweet right here from Phil Cosby. I like that name. I like that tweet. Phil Cosby says he's talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. He thinks the Cleveland Cavaliers should keep Andrew Wiggins and sign Kevin Love for next year. Of course, Kevin Love is a famed big man for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and there's talks back and forth between the Timberwolves and Cavaliers on possibly trading Wiggins in for an acquisition of Kevin Love. So I could see that. I mean, I like Wiggins a lot. I think, you know, we haven't seen him play NBA talent just yet. We've seen him a little bit in the summer league, which he looked great. But right now, you know, the Cavaliers with LeBron James, I think if they do keep Wiggins, I think they may be a little too guard heavy, and I could see some areas clashing there possibly with Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. They need a presence down low. I think Kevin Love would be a great acquisition for him. The thing is, Love doesn't play defense. That's the only thing. That's the only knock about Kevin Love. Right. He doesn't play defense. So, but we'll see. That'd be. I mean, either way, I think with all the talks that are going on right now, looking at the reports nationally, it looks as though this deal. I mean, as soon as Andrew Wiggins, that month period is up where you know he is signed with the team, because you can't make a trade. And you have to wait 30 days after, you know, somebody signs their contract, and Wiggins signed his contract this month or the end of last month, I believe. So they have to wait 30 days. And then I think you will see Wiggins, being moved to the Minnesota Timberwolves. But hey, thanks Phil Cosby for weighing in. Alex, let's dive right into this. This is an interesting story. As you just mentioned in our current sports quick hit headliners, Kenny Kaminsky. How about that? Kenny Kaminsky's career at MSU is now over. Again, after a season plagued by just off-the-court issues, you know, with him and Tom Izzo, he has tweeted over the weekend that, quote, "I am no longer going to play at Michigan State. I will be transferring to another school, but have not decided where yet," end quote. Now, no other comments have been made from MSU or Tom Izzo, but we do know that Kenny Kaminsky will no longer be a part of the squad next year. Alex, I have to say, this for me was surprising, I must say, but I wasn't shocked. I was surprised but not shocked. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, as I just said, I mean, Kenny Kaminsky is a guy who came in last year as a redshirt freshie. Was able to produce. I mean, when he was in, I mean, we saw that Kenny Kaminsky can shoot the blood out of the ball. I mean, he's got a good stroke. He was one of the best. He led actually the team in 3-point shooting percentage last season. He can definitely shoot the ball. The thing is, I mean, you talk about those off the court issues, and we all know Tom Izzo doesn't play with that stuff, man. I mean, it's all about character with him, and we saw there were multiple times that you know, Tom Izzo, when talking about Kenny Kaminsky, I mean, he was just really frustrated with him. You know, we saw the suspensions that, you know, he handed down to Kaminsky last year. And I remember when he went into the presser last season and said, quote, "Kenny Kaminsky's got to grow up. He's just got to grow up. And I'm going to keep suspending him or sitting him out until he takes care of all of his business that he's got to take care of, whether it's in school or off the court," end quote. So, I mean, that's a direct shot at character there. And Kenny Kaminsky just, you know, he just seemed to just constantly just not, he wasn't able to get it together off the court for Tom Izzo, and that's where they definitely bumped heads. So that's the reason why. And you know, for me, let's be honest here, when you're playing college basketball for a coach like Tom Izzo, who demands that you carry yourself a certain way on the court and off of it, it's not easy. You have to, you mature. That's why, you know, you hear a lot of players like the Mateen Cleaves and the Charlie Bells and those who have played for Tom Izzo. They always say, you know, they came to MSU a boy and left MSU as a man. And a lot of it has to do with Tom Izzo, because he holds you accountable for all that you do. And he expects you to develop, you know, your character while here at the school, man. You got to handle your business. And, you know, Kaminsky, for me, now that he's transferring, I kind of feel as though he's kind of taking the easy way out, Alex. I don't know. I think when you come to college, and not even just, you know, taking this from a sports realm here, because even me, you know, and I don't know if you probably feel this way too. You know, when I came to MSU, I came here, again, I came here as a boy. I was used to mama, you know, catering to every need, and, you know, wasn't used to really working or what, you know, and you know, my mom woke me up for class, you know, to go to class every single day. Up here at MSU, you know, this is my first time being alone. having to wake up, you know, at my own time, having to, you know, go to class on my own time, do my homework, not having mama in my ear all the time. And you know, you grow up. You know, I definitely grew up here and learned the whole just the essence of responsibility. And again, I grew up a lot, and that's just a part of college. And you know, everybody has their struggles. Let's be honest here. I mean, there's times where I missed class, I overslept, all that. Let's be honest here. But you know, at MSU and just in college in general, this is a forum for you to grow up and to realize what's important and to handle your business. And if you're not doing that, a guy like Tom Izzo, he's not going to have that mess, man. And for me, I think, you know, Tom Izzo definitely challenged Kenny to grow up. And I would have loved to seen Kenny to be one of those swan song stories, like how, you know, Derek Nix was. Derek Nix was, you know, also had a lot of off the court issues and bumped hands with Tom Izzo a lot when he was here. But I saw Derek Nix mature so much while on that MSU basketball team. And really, his game even turned around. His game even matured on the court where he was a really solid producer day in and day out with the MSU basketball team. And that's a story right there. That's a perfect example of a guy, even though, you know, him and Izzo, you know, definitely had their off-the-court issues. And Derek Nix, you know, was sometimes at the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. He learned over the years. And I'm sure that, you know, he's glad that he stuck with it and became the man that he became to be. And I just would have liked to seen that for Kenny Kaminsky, because I think he's a guy who had a lot of potential. But now with transferring now, he won't get that opportunity. We won't get that opportunity to see him mature.
Yeah, no, a lot of points here with Kenny Kaminsky. And the part about, you know, playing under Izzo and becoming a man at Michigan State, all hold validity. But I'm surprised that as a freshman, I mean, you come into college, and when you sign with Michigan State, you're expecting the values and the teaching of Izzo. So for me, I'm surprised that Izzo went out of his way to talk about how undisciplined Kenny Kaminsky is time after time. It wasn't just a, you know, Kenny, he messed up once, he's got to get it together, and then he fixes it. There have been several warnings for Kaminsky, several times that Izzo has cited his errors. Mm-hmm. And for him to go through all 2 years, remember, as a redshirt freshman, 2 years, and still being, quote-unquote, in the doghouse from Izzo, you know, that says a lot about his character. So, you know, from a personal standpoint for Kaminsky, I'm surprised that he didn't really shape up under Izzo for 2 years.
And now transferring, honestly, Alex, that's just the easy way out. I mean, that's now you got a clean slate. You can go to another program and, you know, see how things work out there. Instead of sticking with it, you know, sticking with it at MSU and just doing what you need to do, man, handling your business and becoming, you know, the type of, you know, man character-wise that Izzo wants you to be and this entire program wants you to be, instead of going that route and fighting through it, I think just transferring, man, is just the easy way out to say, okay, well, I definitely had my stint here. Izzo doesn't like me, and I need to just go somewhere else, you know? Mm. And, you know, we'll see. I wish him the best. I hope he has a great career as well. I think that, you know, again, now, the kid can shoot. He can play.
Now, Al, with Kaminsky transferring, it does free up a scholarship.
It does, and that's another thing I want to hit on, too. Yeah, it's very, very, very true because, you know, it means Izzo now has two scholarships to give for the class of 2015, you know, and MSU is in hot pursuit of five-star recruits and big man, I don't know if you saw this kid, Caleb, I'll get this last name right, but it's Swanigan? Yeah, I believe it's Swanigan. Caleb Swanigan from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Jalen Brunson. From Illinois, MSU already has five-star big man Deontay Davis of Muskegon and guard Kyle Ahrens of Ohio committed. So now it's going to be interesting to see they can beef up now this class, and we'll see how that pans out. Now, if you talk about what MSU is losing, again, they're losing a great shooter. You know, when Kenny was in, you know, when he was eligible and playing out there, and when Tom Izzo, you know, let him go out there and do his thing. I mean, Kenny Kaminsky showed that he can definitely shoot it from deep. You know, he had shades of the guy that Russell Burt was supposed to be, you know. And it was really interesting to see how, you know, because that was really our first time seeing him last year. It was his first season out there, and he showed that he could be very, very, very productive. Now, with him gone now, I think you're going to start to see an increased role from new guys, you know, new kids on the block and Marvin Clark and guys like Javon Best. And even now, you know, Brian Forbes, who, of course, you know, had a great career playing with teammate Denzel Valentine and winning back-to-back state titles under Carlton Valentine's Lansing Sexton team, who now returns to MSU with the squad. Well, not returns to MSU, but he returns to the area playing for the MSU men's basketball team. And, you know, I hope he receives the NCAA waiver. And we find out this month if he does, because with the transfer, you obviously have to wait. You know, the rule is you have to wait a year before you have to play. But there were some extenuating circumstances with Forbes' family that he hopes is a good reason for that 1 year sitting out will be waived and he'll get some playing time. So guys like Forbes, if he gets the waiver to play, and guys like Marvin Clark and Javon Best and so on and so forth, those guys now have, you know, a little bit of increased responsibility now. And I think they're going to be lacking on the shooting end, though, this season, Alex.
Yeah, increased responsibility is right. And the real question coming out of Kaminsky transferring out is, how big of a loss is this for next year?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that this is a huge loss. As much as Kaminsky's character wasn't there, and he was in the doghouse, and he's a redshirt freshman.
Which comes first?
Yeah. But think about it. You have Javon Best coming in. You've got a couple other guys. Bryn Forbes, like you mentioned. But look at the current team and forwards and shooting guards. Who on the team right now is an amazing three-point shooter like Kaminsky?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
No one.
They really have no shooting.
They have zero three-point shooting right now.
Right.
And Bryn Forbes, you don't even know if he's going to play.
Right.
So right now, Michigan State shooting-wise, they're going to lay off every defense. They're just going to play really low off the ball. Every team knows that Michigan State's not going to shoot a lot of threes. I'd say the best three-point shooter right now is Travis Trice. He's a point guard, so he's not even going to be sitting in the wing waiting for the ball.
And, you know, Denzel has developed, you know, near the end of last year. I mean, he definitely developed a long-range shot. If you remember Denzel Valentine, I mean, he could show that he could hit that three-pointer as well. So,
good point.
You know, Trice and Valentine are two guys. I wish Aaron Harris could play this year, because that's what he does, too. You know, Aaron Harris transferred from West Virginia. He has to also sit out a year due to his transfer eligibility. But Aaron is a guy, I don't know if you've seen his tape, but, man, he's known for his shooting, dude. And, you know, I was looking at some highlights from the Moneyball Pro-Am these few weeks, and Aaron was one of the guys playing in that Pro-Am, along with guys like Travis Trice, Denzel Valentine, even Draymond Green came back. Aaron Harris can wet it from deep. I mean, he's got a nice stroke on him. But, yeah, I think they're going to be definitely lacking in the shooting department. Hopefully guys like Trice and Valentine can shoulder that load. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what this team's identity is for this year. So,
yeah,
again,
totally.
Folks, if you want to weigh in on this, again, Kenny Kaminsky has decided to transfer. We don't know where or when just yet. Again, folks, you can weigh in on it by calling 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We will take your calls on the show. All right, well, when we come back, we'll talk about Connor Cook saying that Tyler O'Connor is now, he thinks he's the second guy. He's the second guy as far as that backup role goes. He's ahead of Damian Terry. So we'll talk about that. Also, Tigers, Rory McIlroy, and so much more. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. But by now, you should have somehow realized what you got to do. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday. Hope you're having a productive one, ladies and gents. Again, our phone lines are now open. If you want to call in and talk about anything that's on your sports noggin, you can do so by picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, Alex, well, your boy, Tyler O'Connor, the man that you predicted would possibly be the starting quarterback for last year's Spartan squad. Of course, Connor Cook is the clear-cut man right now, but Connor Cook decided to weigh in on the backup battle that is taking place of in preseason practices right now between Tyler O'Connor and Damian Terry. Now, Tyler, Connor Cook went on to say, quote, "Tyler's real smart. Tyler has the offense down like the back of his hand. Damian's still learning just because he just finished up his first year, obviously, and Tyler's going into his third. But I feel like Tyler right now is probably the backup. Who knows what's going to happen during camp," end quote. Again, O'Connor started camp number two on the depth chart, and with Terry at number three. Terry is coming off surgery to repair his left non-throwing shoulder, an injury that he suffered in the spring game. So interesting comments from Connor Cook there, you know, kind of weighing in on this battle. Now, it's still early because camps are still going on right now. MSU has its first full practice today on Media Day. So it's going to be interesting. And, you know, right now the viewing sample size is really, really small, because we haven't really seen Tyler O'Connor or Damian Terry, you know, play a full game. I haven't seen much of them to really weigh on this, you know, as much as I would like to. But, you know, the biggest thing that I'm, you know, reading the reports in the preseason and reading, you know, the press releases from, what MSU Athletics sends through our media emails and looking at the numbers and how Terry is doing and listening to D'Antonio and how he feels about the whole situation. It seems as though really the big question is, can Terry throw the ball? You know, we know that he can put on the ground and definitely be an effective, you know, on-ground type of quarterback. But as far as through the air, reading defenses and so on and so forth, looks as though Tyler O'Connor definitely, you know, has that down pat. And he, like you said, I mean, Connor Cook, it seems as though he has the playoff, the playbook, excuse me. You know, Connor Cook said that Tyler O'Connor has the playbook down like the back of his hand, and he's just more comfortable. And he's a year ahead of Damian Terry as well, so that's just a natural maturation process. But, I'm not surprised that, Tyler O'Connor is that second guy right now.
Yeah, listeners really may not know this, but Tyler O'Connor just had a lot more preparation coming to Michigan State. He trained out with Trent Dilfer in the Elite 11 at the Elite 11 camp in California. So I think that I'm sure helped him a lot. I'm training with one of the NFL greats in Trent Dilfer and his camp out at the Elite 11. But yeah, and I thought that the comments made by Connor Cook, I thought they were a little premature. I don't think that he necessarily needs to be talking about who he thinks is going to be the number two. You know, that's the coach's decision.
Right.
So I thought the comments were a little unnecessary, but you know what? I don't think it's going to matter. I mean, like you said, Cook is the clear-cut guy. There's Heisman talks going on right now with Connor Cook, and I think it'll be irrelevant come the season, Al.
Yeah, it's really, exactly. When you look at it right now, Connor Cook is the clear-cut number one man. Something that we couldn't say at the beginning of last year's MSU football season. There was a three-man horse race when you really dive into it with O'Connor, Damian Terry, and Connor Cook. And, you know, of course, you know, well, actually a four-man race when you really look at it. So it was really interesting to see how things panned out. Of course, Cook ended up really his game just progressing game in and game out. It seemed as though he just got better each and every game and was just able to just produce more all the way to a Rose Bowl championship, which is, I think, is great because now Cook is coming in as the clear-cut number one guy, numero uno. That's the thing I think that all MSU football fans should be focusing on. You know, you see about, you know, these different reports about him progressing as a leader. You know, his leadership is really through the roof because, you know, he feels comfortable now. We all know who the number one guy is. We know who the quarterback is of this team, the quarterback being probably the most eminent leadership position that you can have on a football team. And, you know, he can address the media and just carry that swag as being that leader. And, it's really great to see that. As far as, you know, Cook weighing in on it, I think he was probably asked about, you know, the second battle. And, you know, even though that he came out and said that right now he feels as though Tyler is probably the backup, you know, still he said who knows what's going to happen during camp. So it's really just a free-for-all horse race in that regard. And we'll see what pans out. But again, you know, I think the preeminent focus should be Connor Cook being that number one guy, him being the guy behind, you know, behind center, calling the shots, and him progressing as a leader on this team. And it's going to be interesting to see how his game has evolved. So I think that is certainly the number one thing to take away from that. So as far as who the number two guy, is concerned, I don't know. And frankly, that's not really what my focus is when previewing this season for the MSU football team is. So we'll definitely see how all of that pans out. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, moving on. Let's talk about some pro action here. The Detroit Tigers. How about this? Sweeping the Colorado Rockies, finishing that sweep with a 4-0 victory on Sunday. It was just really a rout every single game between the Tigers and Colorado. The Tigers were in complete command. really, you know, just giving no type of room for the Rockies to even pull out just one win out this series. And, you know, Colorado, they're among the last teams in the league. I mean, they have, you know, the second worst record right now in all of MLB. If anything, this was a series all about, you know, confidence building for them. This definitely was a confidence builder. The Tigers, they hit .323 while scoring 19 runs in this weekend sweep. So this is good. This is great, you know, looking at the momentum that this could carry on into now a pretty important series between the Tigers and Yankees, a series that could tell a lot as the season now winds down. It's only now, 54 games left in the MLB season. Exactly one-third of the season is left. That's crazy. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty, and you got to start playing your best baseball right now. The Yankees will certainly be a test, especially as we'll get to see the first outing for David Price. Of course, that key acquisition from the Tampa Bay Rays last week. We get to see David Price in action tomorrow.
Yeah, and the Yankees came off a really great win last night against Boston. I don't know if you caught that game, Al. Coming back, you know, two runs down in the eighth inning. So they're going to be hot coming into the series, and Brett Gardner's tearing off the ball right now. He had some big hits yesterday. But yeah, and the other thing about the Tigers being the Rockies is Colorado is the worst in interleague play, mm-hmm. .282 winning percentage. So, like you said, it was a warm-up and a test for the Tigers. The Rockies, though, pretty good hitting, although, albeit they're at the bottom of the division, pretty good hitting. Several guys over .300. You saw some of the hitters in the Friday-Saturday games put on some runs. So, don't get the Tigers mixed up. Though that was a decent hitting Rockies team.
There are no fashion, way, shape, or form in the league that the Tigers are in, though. I mean,
oh,
it was a route. It was a route,
but
let's
for,
be honest.
For a team that struggles with relief pitching like the Tigers and to hold some of those hitters, it's a good sign.
Yeah, confidence-wise, yeah, for guys like Jabba Chamberlain and Joe Nathan, those guys, I mean, definitely. Because they came in and they did their thing, right. You know, especially yesterday.
It's a little more than just a test, Al. Don't just spite the Rockies because they're last in the division. Justin Morneau, Tiger killer. Hitless. That's a pretty good stat.
It was the Rockies, Colorado. You know, what are they? They've only won like 44 games so far this season. It's a pity pat match. It's a pity pat match before the Tigers play the Yankees today. So, and you know, interesting because if you look at this Yankees series now, I think this would be a good test for the Tigers. Again, it's on the road. It's a 4-game series. I think this could be a measuring stick game to see where this team is right now. You know, if they can produce 4 consistent games. And you know, look at, you know, certain guys here. I think that Miguel Cabrera, I think he's going to have a good series. History has written that against the Yankees. Miggy loves the Yankees. Cabrera is hitting, get this, .424 with 10 homers, 23 RBIs in his last 16 games in the Bronx. How about that? That's pretty impressive stuff. And that includes the playoffs as well, Alex. Now, he's homered in all 3 road games against the Yankees last season as well. So, Miggy, he's definitely going to bring his A game, I think, in this series. You know, Brandon McCarthy is going to be hitting the mound against Max Scherzer tonight. It should be a good pitching duel. McCarthy has won his last 2 starts against Detroit, actually, allowing one run with 18 strikeouts in 14 innings with Oakland, with the latest coming on May 12th of 2012. So that's going to be interesting, too. So McCarthy definitely brings it and has had good numbers against the Tigers in the past. So, just briefly talking about the expectations from Price's debut game tomorrow night. I mean, what do you expect David's going to do tomorrow, Alex? Do you think he's going to have a good outing, a good debut with the Tigers?
Yeah, and you hear all the reports that Price is pitching the best he ever has, and I don't know if you've heard some of those, and you know he's pitching well right before the break.
Yeah.
So against a Yankees team, I don't think he's going to pitch that well, to be honest, Al, because
you don't.
Being at the Tampa Bay Rays, pitching for the Rays, they see the Yankees a lot, and typically when you pitch against division teams, you typically get a better read on pitchers than if you're an interleague player or if it's an out-of-division team. You get more of a scouting report. I feel that the Yankees have seen a lot of Price over the years, and they'll have his number a little bit. I don't think he's going to pitch poorly, but I don't think he's going to go and pitch 12 strikeouts, 10 strikeouts, and have a shutout.
You think he's going to have an average day?
I think he'll have an average
day. Solid
day.
Solid.
Just getting adjusted. It's a team he's seen a lot of. The Yankees, you know, a lot of lefty hitters on the Yankees, good lefty hitters on the Yankees. So, you know, that will help him a little bit, you know, being a left-handed pitcher. But I think the Yankees will still read him a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think Price is certainly hot. I mean, he's definitely one of the hottest pitchers in the game right now. But you know, now you know when you have a big acquisition like that, where you're traded to a supreme Tigers team again, who the expectations are World Series. It's like that could be a lot of pressure. You know, coming on your first debut, the target is on your back. There's a lot of eyes on you. It could be maybe some bubble guts there. I don't know. But I think David Price will be solid tomorrow. I don't think he'll be, you know, he'll turn your head and you're like, oh my goodness, he was unbelievable. But he'll be solid, you know, and put his team, put the Tigers in a position when that relief comes in for them to close out the game and to get a W. So we'll see. You know, I don't think Tigers fans should expect Price to come out and just be completely lights out on his first outing. That's unfair, I think.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. All right, folks, again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. After the break, we will talk about Rory McIlroy. My goodness, is he amazing. His game reminds me of myself, Alex. He's pretty good, pretty good. And also Darrell Earnhardt Jr., who's on a roll, and we'll give you our weekend winners and losers. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, joined by Alex Shark. Exciting day today for all of you mid-Michigan Spartan fans out there, big fans of the MSU football team, because today is opening summer practice for this MSU football team. Media Day is also today. We will be heading down to Spartan Stadium right after the show. D'Antonio will address the media at 2 p.m. Exciting stuff, Alex. What are you looking forward to the most from MSU Football Media Day?
Yeah, man. You know, we've heard a lot about position battles already and the expectations, the mantra, the catchphrase. It starts here. But what I'm most looking forward to probably are meeting the new incoming recruits, meeting the new guys new to the program, stepping into a Rose Bowl team, which probably wasn't relevant years ago when they were growing up and watching this team. I'm more interested to see some of the new guys because we've seen a lot already from D'Antonio and some of the players. I think we've already hit a lot of the questions that have been asked. I'm curious to see some of the new guys coming up. And if it starts here, if this program can stabilize itself for the long run and establish a flow or a tree system of guys consistently coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I'm definitely excited to talk about, you know, when we sit down with a few of the players today and also D'Antonio on just how this team plans to duplicate that type of success they had last year. Because really, the success they had last year, nobody saw it coming. I mean, nobody saw it coming. And, you know, I remember those first few games of last year, you know, coming on Current Sports and saying, man, oh, man, this doesn't look good, man. I don't know about this team. And as things panned out, this team just got consistently better game by game by game. I'm just worried. I'm just wondering how this team plans on duplicating that type of success, where their mindset is. And now they do have a target on their back. And this is the first time we've seen in quite some time this MSU football team. I mean, they're ranked number 8th, for goodness sake, in the whole coaches poll. I mean, that's the highest rating they've ever had in a preseason coaches poll since it was enacted in 1991. So, I mean, that's a lot of pressure. All eyes are on them. And, you know, pressure either, you know, I always say pressure either busts pipes or makes diamonds. And, you know, I definitely think this team is certainly coming in with the right mindset. And I can't wait to pick the brain of many of the players today at Media Day, so it should be a great time. Again, you can catch our WKR Current Sports coverage of Media Day by tuning in to Current Sports this Thursday night at 10 p.m. and also by going to WKAR.org. I'll be putting together a story. You don't want to miss that as well. Okay, well, how about Rory McIlroy? He is in a zone. Rory McIlroy is playing probably the best golf out of anybody in the world right now. He clinched a win at Bridgestone over the weekend, returned to number 1 in the world golf ranking. This is now back-to-back wins for Rory. Back-to-back. He was down to Sergio Garcia with three strokes and three holes to go. Came back to win it. Sergio, now, I tell you what, Alex, you got to feel bad for Sergio. I definitely feel for Sergio because looking at Sergio, I mean, and looking at his track record of success when he has a three-plus lead in the final day, he has now lost four times in his career when he's had a three-plus lead on the final day. He's just right. Not clutch, man.
And a lot of people are talking about how great Rory played and everything. And
he was
Sergio was at 15, you know, 14 under, and he had five, six strokes back of Justin Rose and Rory. But for me, I think Sergio just blew it out. I mean, Rory played great. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, birding and those last three holes, coming back like that, amazing. But I really think that Sergio just couldn't get the focus that he needed to. His drives on the last three were all over the
and
place.
And we've seen that before with Sergio.
Yeah.
Sergio just mentally just isn't there. You know what I mean? When you need a hole, when you need birdies, when you need something to salvage a lead and to keep, you know, some consistent momentum going, Sergio just has proven in the past that he just can't get it done. I think it's a mental thing with him, if anything, and he's got to feel bad. You know, he's just got to. I mean, because, this is fourth time in his career, four times now, that in the final day when he's had a three-plus stroke lead, fourth time that he's lost. That's got to, my goodness.
And a lot of people really like Justin Rose coming in on that last day. I mean, he was 9-under, several strokes back, but he just fell apart
right
on Saturday and Sunday. I mean, his drives, he was moving his feet a little bit. He wasn't set with his rotation. His drives went all over the place, hitting the trees.
Right.
And granted, there are some tough holes at Bridgestone. I mean, very hard course, especially that longest par five in golf, 600 yards.
Yeah, it's long. Pretty long.
You know, pretty crazy course. But you know what? At the end of the day, Sergio, for me, lost it. Rory, yeah, he's among the greats now. You know,
Rory's the
one
man.
Of 13 players with consecutive majors.
Yeah.
You know, major in a championship. But, man.
He is the man. Rory right now is playing the best golf of anybody out there. You know, when Rory is on, you can't beat him. Because especially when he's driving the ball like he is, he's keeping it in the fairway. His short game is great. I mean, his putting is superb. It's tough to beat Rory McIlroy when he's playing like he is right now. It's pretty crazy. And now he has another chance this week for another shot at a major. He possibly win three straight here. And, you know, for me, you know, being the Tiger Eldrick Woods fan that I am, it was pretty tough seeing him go out with another back injury. He went out due to back spasm, seemed to pull his back during, you know, the middle of his play yesterday. Oh, boy. Maybe we might see, you know, maybe we've seen Tiger Woods' best days. And I hate to admit it. But, you know, he did not look good.
Really? It's so early, man. It's only his third, fourth thing back.
But still, you know, he hasn't won a major since I graduated high school, 2008. And it's like, dude, you know, Tiger, please, I'm rooting for him to get back. And every time you root for him, he kind of fools you because he always comes out, even at the WGC Bridgestone over the weekend. I mean, he came out Thursday, had a great first round.
He looked great. Is he 1-200?
Yeah, he was only three strokes in back of the lead. And, you know, all of a sudden, second round, ugh. Third round, fourth round, he's injured. It's just like, come on, Tag. So I'm the biggest Tiger Woods fan you ever meet, man. It's my favorite athlete. And, you know, you just hate, you know, with this back injury now, it's lingering now. You know, just when you think Tiger Woods is healthy and he's back, something else happens. And I really hope, you know, he's taking medication for the spasms right now. But until he gets healthy with that back, it's going to be tough for Tiger Woods to win.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
The Buick's got to have some more cushioned seats for him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he needs like a heating pad when he goes out there and plays, you know? I always go back. Remember Phil Jackson was having back problems and he had like his custom chair on the sidelines?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Tiger needs that, man. Maybe he needs that. He maybe needs a golf cart instead of walking. I don't know. I hope he gets back to his dominance, but man, I hate seeing Tiger Woods in the state that he is in right now. All right, and how about Dale Earnhardt Jr.? He was definitely bringing out the broom over the weekend. He's now swept at Pinoco. You know, unbelievable stuff from Dale Earnhardt Jr. was, you know, the confidence from Dale, and probably, you know, NASCAR's most recognizable figure right now in Dale Earnhardt Jr. Did you see his tweet? It was pretty funny because he actually tweeted when arriving in Pinoco last week, quote, looking for a broom, kind of alluding to the fact that, hey, you know, he's ready. And man, oh, man. When he's on, he's on. And it was just great seeing Dale Earnhardt Jr. He's putting on a show right now. And, you know, it puts him in the position, the prime position, as the favorite of the whole Sprint Cup chase right now. And I think he can pull that off, Alex. He's in racing, you know, sometimes you just got the right strategy. He's got a great team in back of him. And whatever he's doing is working right now. It was great to see him hoist up the broom, if you will, over the weekend,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, at Pocono. And great to see him with the legacy of his father, Dale, in that tragic accident. I mean, Dale Earnhardt Jr. had a lot of hype coming in, you know, legacy product. Had a little bit of a rough start, you know, in the 2000s. Didn't really win too many. And now I feel that this was the starting point he needed to really launch himself for his career.
He's the man.
And with Dale Earnhardt Jr., I mean, he held off at the end. I mean, he held off Kevin Harvick, but I mean, he took the lead right towards the end, coming in with perfect time. It's kind of like horse racing where you sit in the middle of the pack, you're right in the perfect place, and at the end you take over. It's a little bit same with racing, I feel like, where you kind of want to be in that middle pack. You're starting to get towards
the end.
It's
all about strategy. It's a lot of strategy with racing. And yeah,
it was a perfect race for him.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, Dale Earnhardt kind of alluded to that. I mean, the strategy that him and his team have been using throughout this season has been really proving to, elude a lot of benefits throughout the year. So, hey, whatever they're doing it right. It was exciting stuff, and congrats to Dale as well. And, you know, talking about Rory and Dale and everything that happened over the weekend, we want to bring to you our weekend winners and losers. I'll start it off, Alex. I'll go with the winners. For me, of course, Rory. Dale, you know, the typical ones, they had a great, 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 great weekend. Also, I don't know if you saw this. During the match of the WGC Bridgestone, when I was watching it, there was a woman. I don't know if you caught this. Sergio Garcia had hit an errant shot off the tee. I believe it was off the tee, or maybe it was the second or third shot. I can't remember. But he hits a shot, right? And the shot goes errant. It goes off the course and ends up hitting a woman. And it hits her, right? And it hits her. After it hits her, she looks at her finger and realizes that her ring has, you know, like the diamond, the ring that holds the diamond had fallen off of the ring and hits the grass. So, you know, Sergio hears about it as he's walking up to see where the ball went, and he's apologized, like, oh my goodness, you know, and he wants to, he's talking to his caddy to get her information just in case she can't find the diamond. So there's like this search going on for this diamond. Who knows how much the diamond is? They ended up finding it. And Sergio, I've heard this morning listening to Mike and Mike, Sergio may be paying for an extra diamond. That's pretty cool. That's pretty nice of him, you know, in light of his whole bad weekend. So she's a winner for me because she might get another diamond out of this whole thing, you know? So, yeah.
How about that?
It's crazy, right?
Good story. I didn't hear about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sir. It was an errant shot. You know, it hits her. You know, her diamond falls out, and they you know, have this massive search, and she ends up finding it. And, yeah, and then Sergio said, hey, I'll buy you another one.
Nice story.
That's pretty cool. Hats off to Sergio. Even though you lost, he loses graciously. And he had a big smile when Rory won on that 18th hole. I guess he's used to it now, right? He's just smiling, yeah. Like, hey, you got me, buddy. All right, next time. Yeah. So I kind of feel bad for Sergio, man. Hopefully he gets a win this season, man. He's a great golfer, I think. Got a lot of talent. And also Serena Williams. How about Serena Williams? This story kind of got, you know, under the spotlight a little bit, but Serena's coming back after, of course, that virus that plagued her. And she won her third Bank of the West Classic title on Sunday. She defeated number 8 Angelique Kerber. And you know, is now, you know, it looks as though she's back, you know, and you know, I was really worried about her because she had, you know, withdrawn during her last tournament. She had just a real bad bug that was really bothering her. She seemed very, very ill, but hey, she comes through with a big win, and she seems to be the same old Serena Williams. And that's the thing about her. Serena Williams is misconsistency because, you know, even when you think she has a hurdle to overcome, she overcomes it and shows that she is still the best tennis player in the game. So congrats to Serena. Who's your weekend winners,
yeah,
Alex?
Well, I'm going to start with the losers because I got three losers here, Alex.
Gotcha.
Big ones. First, it's got to be Paul George and the Pacers.
Yeah, he's one of mine,
too. I mean, Al, that season is for the Indiana now, is gone.
Yeah, it's tough.
Poor team.
Yep.
I mean, after this year and all the hype, and you know, they had a disappointing playoff run, and they were talking about next year, that's going to set the franchise back for years.
Yeah, it's tough. That's one of mine, too. I mean, watching that injury, makes you just, it sends chills up your spine when you look at it. Oh, my goodness.
Second, and we haven't talked about this yet, but a big loser is University of Michigan football. I don't know if you heard about this, but Cassante York, local product out of Chandler High School.
Is this a recruiting story?
No.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
On the roster, played limited time last year, suspended indefinitely in an ongoing police investigation, stemming off an undisclosed reason from Brady Hoke.
Oh, so we don't know what happened. But
we don't know what happened, but after Graham Glasgow and all the other, Taylor Lewan, I mean, Michigan just getting constantly hit.
Yeah.
With off the field issues with football.
Yeah.
This never happened under Lloyd Carr. Never happened. Even with Rich Rodriguez, it really never happened off the field too much.
You know what a cool story is? I don't know if you heard this, Alex. But Nick Saban, you know, when you talk about off the field issues and all this talk about Ray Rice and, you know, the domestic violence thing that happened and which got a lot of press. Nick Saban brought in a domestic violence council, I believe, and had, you know, them talk to his team. How cool is that? You know, and really giving them advice on how to handle off the field issues, and you know, just how to handle a situation like that. So really interesting. But yeah, that's so many. Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't hear about this.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. That just broke yesterday. But a winner for me, as much as Kaminsky, you know, the transfer it's a loss on the 3-point end. It's a win for me because I think that they could get better talent, especially with Izzo's tenure and is guaranteed in the NCAA tournament and all that they have to offer. And with Michigan State, with the Rose Bowl now, that's going to be a big attraction for basketball recruits coming in. You're coming into a bigger athletic program now that the football program is as successful as it has been.
Right, yeah. So, okay. So those are your winners or losers, you said.
Losers, and my winner is Michigan State basketball recruit.
Your winner is, okay, winner is Michigan State. Okay, I like that. And my losers, you know, you kind of took it, you know, Sergio is a loser. That sounded so bad. Sergio's not a loser in life, but he's a loser over the weekend. You know, he just can't pull out those clutch moments. Tiger Woods, also, who knows, you know, what'll come of this whole back injury thing and Paul George, the horrific injury. So, you know, an exciting weekend in sports. So there's a lot that went down that I didn't even expect to go down. With that exhibition game, I didn't even know. I just happened to be flipping through the channels, and boom, I'm like, this is heaven.
How about Eli Manning though? 6 for 7. I know.
Yeah,
it's
with the Hall of Fame game. Yeah, and how about the Hall? Did you get a chance to look at any of the speeches over the Hall of Fame weekend?
Caught glimpses.
Yeah, there were. We'll talk about that tomorrow because there were some touching things said and some pretty impressive class. And also, I heard that Brett Favre is going to be inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame, and not this NFL season, but next NFL season. And he also addressed whether or not he'll think that the Packer crowd will boo him, which will be interesting. And he said he doesn't care. You know, if they boo, they boo. You know, but I don't think if there are any Packer fans out there who will be booing Brett Favre when he gets inducted into the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame, shame on you. I feel as though Brett Favre, he's a Packer legend. He's one of the reasons I fell in love with football as a young tight, watching him and John Elway play. I mean, Brett Favre did so much for that entire franchise. He's a legend when you talk. Now I know he played for the Minnesota Vikings and so on and so forth, but Brett Favre will always be remembered first as a Green Bay Packer. And I don't think he should be booed. That'd be terrible if he gets booed at Lambeau.
Well, you know, the Green Bay fan base, it's a loyal fan base.
Yeah.
And they did win the Super Bowl, you know, and following Favre's departure, that was a big win for them.
Right,
So I kind of feel him on that because maybe they thought they had the team to build around Favre for that Super Bowl.
Yeah, but don't you think his legacy and what he did for Green Bay Nation is bigger than, you know, the stint when he left? You know, hey, he might have, I mean, that's the politics of sports sometimes,
but,
you know?
But Packer Nation's been strong before Favre. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to argue.
I understand that, but still, this is Brett Favre we're talking about. That's going to be interesting, too. But yeah, he'll be getting inducted into the 2015 Hall of Fame class. All right, my goodness, time flies when you're having fun, and we are out of time here on Current Sports, folks. Boy, you don't want to miss this week of Current Sports. We have a fantastic week. Again, I'll be sitting down with Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca football team, this week on Current Sports TV, being a part of that live studio audience by signing up online for free at WKAR.org. We will tape on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. We'll also have a lot of beat writers throughout the week and, football experts, MSU football experts throughout the week to talk about the upcoming year for the MSU football team. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage on MSU Football Media Day. And Mark D'Antonio is about to address the media in about 30 seconds. We're going to race down to Spartan Stadium right now. Well, folks, we are out of time. Thanks a lot for tuning in to today's show. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic start to your week. And, hey, be easy, people.